Well, today is a significant day for our church because today is the last Sunday that we're having our in-person services at Sunset Middle School. Next Sunday, we'll be in our brand new building. And if you're with us online, you'll probably start to see some changes to our online service as well. Now, I know that some of you who join us online have never been to the school. And so today might seem a little different as I talk about the school and about the last 5 or 6 years. But I hope you'll get to know some of the story of our church, and I hope that you're encouraged by the story. And so today, we want to celebrate everything that God has done at Sunset Middle School. Before we do that, though, I want to confess that I didn't want our church to be at Sunset Middle School. That was not what I wanted at the beginning. When we knew the village was starting, I actually had my eye on another middle school up the road. It's right on the main road, Nolensville Road through here. And I just knew in my heart that that was the place that we were supposed to meet. So I prayed about it, felt good about it. And every time I drove by it, I would just think to myself, that's where the village is going to meet. It's going to be awesome. I even had a friend who was the Nashville Metro Council member for the district that that school is in. And he just helped them build an addition on the school. He had a great relationship with the principal. And so I reached out to him and I told him we were starting a church and that we wanted to meet at the school. And I asked him if he could maybe help me connect with the principal there. And he said he'd be more than happy to do that. I was so excited. I felt like God was answering my prayers for that school. So a few days later, somewhere around the middle of December 2014, my friend emailed the principal and he copied me. And basically said, hey, I'd like to introduce you to Travis Gardner. Travis is starting a new church in the area, and they'd like to meet at your school. And then he went on to say some other really nice things about me, which I won't tell you because you'll think I'm just bragging. But in reality, I'm much more humble than that. Anyway, the next day, like quick response, the next day she emailed back. And she said, dear Travis, we would love for your new church to meet at our school. And I thought, this is amazing. But then she went on, but unfortunately, we just signed a contract last week for another church to begin meeting here. I was devastated. Amanda, my wife, says that I walked around the house for the next couple of weeks like sad Charlie Brown. Then on Sunday, January 4th, I was over at our mother church where I was on staff at the time, Brentwood United Methodist Church, and I went down to the youth area where they were having a program led by some of the students who just returned from a retreat. And I sat down by a youth mom named Beth, somebody that I knew well. Both of our girls had been in the youth group. And Beth asked me, hey, have you found a place for the new church to meet? And I went into sad Charlie Brown again, and I told her the story of what had just happened. And then she said this to me. She said, well, did you know that the principal of Sunset Middle School, Dr. Brown, is a member of our church here? I said, I did not know that. She said, well, my girls went there. Do you mind if I try to connect you to him? And I said, I do not mind. Story goes on. At some point on Monday, late afternoon, Beth called me, but I missed the call and she left me a voicemail and I was busy and I didn't get around to listening to it on Monday. But I remember I got up early on Tuesday morning, January 6th, which in the church is a day known as Epiphany. And I looked at my phone and I realized I'd missed the call from Beth. And so I listened to the voicemail. And she said, hey, Travis, it's Beth. Hey, I went ahead and called Dr. Brown and asked him if the new church could meet at Sunset. He said that would be fine. He just wants you to come walk through the building to make sure it's going to work for you. I hung up the voicemail. I thought that sounded like a pretty good option. And so I sat down and I opened up my Bible reading plan. Now, I'd made a New Year's resolution. This was January 6th. I'd made a New Year's resolution to read the whole Bible that year. And since it was only January 6th, I was still doing it. So anyway, the Old Testament reading for the day, the first thing I read was Genesis 13. And in Genesis 13, 7, God says these words, go walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. And from that moment on, there's been no doubt that Sunset Middle School is exactly where God wanted us to be. I've been kind of taking a little bit of a tour down memory lane this week. I've been thinking about all of the things that we've experienced while we've been meeting in the school. I've actually been thinking about what I'm going to miss. And I've been asking around about what other people are going to miss about being a mobile church in a school. Somebody said they're going to miss the giant saber logo on the wall in the gym. Somebody said that they're going to miss the uniqueness of going to middle school at 74 years of age. Several people have said there's always going to be something special about knowing that our church was born in this school, that this school feels like home. Several people have said that they're going to miss the bleachers, believe it or not. Now, this is weird, but it's true. I'm going to miss the locker room. Because the reality is I've knelt and prayed for our church in the locker room every single Sunday for the past 5+ years. And over again in that locker room, I've felt God's presence and assurance. And I think if God can speak in a middle school boy's locker room, God can speak anywhere. Several people said they're going to miss the mystery and the challenge that comes from never knowing what you're going to find when you come into a middle school gym and cafeteria on a Sunday morning. We never know what's going to be set up or not set up. We never know what the temperature is going to be. We've actually said we think we're going to need some kind of temperature randomizer in the new building just to make sure that it feels like home. So some of those stories, there was the time that we came in on our kickoff Sunday in August. It was a day we were expecting our biggest crowd of the year, and there was no water in the building. It was the only time I can remember greeting guests by saying, "Hi, welcome to the village. We're going to need you to hold it." My favorite story was our very first Sunday at the school. Our equipment had just been delivered the day before, and Brentwood Methodist had let us practice setting up and tearing down in their gym on the day before our first service. And a couple people came over to the school to drop something off. And Barbara, who was a teacher at the time at the school, called me and she said, Hey, Travis, I just peeked in the gym and the whole middle of the gym floor is roped off. I said, well, Dr. Brown knows we're here for our first service tomorrow. I'm sure it's fine. Just let me call him. So I called him and he said, oh, I forgot to tell you that the logo was redone and you can't use that part of the gym floor. Now, that part of the gym floor was the entire middle of the floor. And so on our very first Sunday, we had to completely shift the setup and make it happen. We also never know what's going to work or not work with our equipment that we get out of the trailers. And I'll always be amazed at the fact that Jeff Stockard, who is our leader of our setup team, has some kind of magical Mary Poppins bag that always seems to have whatever tool we need to fix whatever's broken, right? You need a screwdriver? Jeff's got it. You need some duct tape? Jeff's got it. You need a chainsaw or a blowtorch? No worries. Jeff has one in his bag. One of my favorite sayings in our church has come from those Sundays. I mean, on the days when nothing seems right or nothing is working, we look at each other and we simply say, it's going to be a great day at the village. Believe it or not, lots and lots of people said they're going to miss the community that comes from setting up and tearing down in a gym and a cafeteria every week. I've been doing some math on it this week. We've set up and torn down in the school somewhere in the neighborhood of 258 times. Which means we've set up 12,384 play panels in our village kids. We've brewed 2,500 pots of coffee. We've served more than 50,800 donuts, waved more than 51,000 cars down the driveway, given 103,000 high fives, and we've pulled out and rolled up about 154,000 feet of blue tarp from the floor. We've sung over 1,500 worship songs. We've shared somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,600 loaves of Hawaiian bread in communion. And you all as a church have had to endure 248 sermons. Thank goodness for those 10 cent Sundays when I didn't preach. We baptized well over 100 adults and kids and teenagers in that middle school gym. People have had life-changing encounters with God in a middle school gym. I asked in a survey over the past couple of weeks, hey, what's something significant that God has done in your life through the village while we've been meeting at the school? And I wish I had time to read all of the responses to you, but here are just a few of the responses. Somebody said, the relationships I have built through village groups and working in village kids have impacted and will forever impact my life. I could not have gotten through the last few years without those friends. Somebody said, I've received peace through the chaos of these last years. That's something we've all needed. Somebody said, we baptized our baby at the village at Sunset Middle School. Somebody said, I was baptized and my son was baptized in the gym at Sunset Middle School. Somebody said, we battled infertility and our church family prayed for us, and we have since been blessed with two beautiful babies while we've been in the middle school. Somebody said, as a family, we've come closer to God and to each other, and I've learned to be more outgoing, welcoming, and friendly. Somebody said, at the school, it was the first time in my entire life that I heard the Holy Spirit, and I chose to become baptized and hear God speak to me. Another question I asked was what or how has God spoken to you at the school? Somebody said, he's prompted me to think more about the community that we want to serve. Somebody said, he has pulled me out of my comfort zone, and he's shown me I can trust him with my insecurities when my plans don't coincide with his plans. My fear of failure isn't a good reason to not follow where he leads. Somebody said, I felt like I belonged for the first time in my life, and I have longed for a church like this to feel at home. Somebody said, God has spoken purpose into me. He pointed me here so I could learn to trust his plan for me and to find purpose in all things. Somebody said, I've started to understand that God heals and does not punish. I've begun to accept the forgiveness and grace God offers, and I've achieved 1 year of sobriety. One of the other commitments that we made from our very first Sunday at the school was that we were going to give away the first 10% of everything that came into our regular offering for mission and ministry outside of our church. It's a commitment that we wanted to reinvest in the community. And so through today, just through your regular ministry giving since January 10th, 2016 at Sunset Middle School, you've given away a staggering amount of $443,130.84. Right? We've funded somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000 bags of food that have gone home in backpacks to help kids who don't have access to food at home. Local ministries and organizations have been helped. They've been able to buy necessary equipment and supplies to serve the people in our community who don't have homes, who don't have food, who don't have medical care, who don't have the after-school care that they need. Hundreds of families have received food in critical times. Healthcare workers at local hospitals have been fed and thanked in the height of the COVID crisis. Teachers and administrators and staff members at schools in our area have been, they've been caffeinated and they've been appreciated and they've been gift carded and they've been prayed for because of that money. This year alone, through the power of your generosity, we were able to give notes of prayer and encouragement and $25 Amazon gift cards to the entire staffs at 15 different schools in the area. We actually got several thank you notes back from that, but one of them stuck out to me. Somebody wrote us and said, I've worked in the cafeteria at my school since 2007, and I just wanted to let you know how much I and the other cafeteria staff appreciate the Amazon gift card that you gave to everyone, and let me tell you why it means a lot to the cafeteria staff. One, we are incredibly short-staffed, but more importantly, the cafeteria is kind of overlooked a lot, even though it's not intentional. We're here and we're in the back and nobody sees us and nobody interacts with us. And the only way we would be missed is if we didn't serve breakfast or lunch. There are a ton of openings for cafeteria workers in the county and morale is so low. And so it was just so very nice to be included. And we also thought it would only be a $5 gift card. And when we all saw it was $25, our eyes kind of popped out of our head a little bit. That was so generous. So thank you and know that we appreciate it. That's all amazing stuff. And it doesn't even count the Christmas and Easter offerings that we've collected for water projects around the world and local organizations here in our own backyard, which since 2016 have totaled $281,373. So all together, you've pulled together and pooled resources together, and you've given away over $724,000 in 5 short years to make an impact for the kingdom of God. And every single bit of this has happened while we've been a church meeting at Sunset Middle School. Countless times, people have walked into a school struggling with life and faith only to leave with hope and assurance. It's a middle school, and it looks like a middle school, and parts of it smell like a middle school, but it's been holy ground for us. People have been baptized here. People have made decisions to follow Jesus for the first time. People have made decisions to follow Jesus again for the first time in a long time. God has used a middle school in ways that I never could have predicted, and I am going to miss it. And I'm always going to be grateful for the time that we've had together at Sunset Middle School. But here's what I want to say to us today. The church is not about the building. It's not about the middle school building, and it's not about the brand new building up at the corner of Nolansville and Burkett Road. The church is the people. I want you to listen to these words from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's what he says. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, I really like that line. You know that when you were pagans, some of you are still pagans. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He goes on, verse 4, and he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not stop for that reason being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Hear that again. You are the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. It's all of us using whatever gifts we've been given and pulling our weight to accomplish what God has asked us to accomplish together. We don't all play the same part. We're not all supposed to play the same part, but every one of us is supposed to play a part. The church isn't the building. It's the people. No one on the setup or teardown teams has felt camaraderie with the cases or with the trailers. They felt camaraderie with the people that they've served alongside. No one walked away feeling like this was a friendly church because of the extra long sidewalk from the parking lot to the front door, or the donuts, or the coffee. They felt warmly welcomed by the people who've stood at the doors and greeted them. The people who've set out the coffee and donuts and served them. And the people who've worked all in the lobby along the way. None of our kids in Village Kids learned about Jesus from the cafeteria. They've learned about Jesus. They've had partners in building a foundation of faith in the people who've worn those blue Village Kids t-shirts and volunteered their time and their energy and their patience week in and week out to be part of Village Kids. No one has felt the presence of God because of the beauty of the blue tarp on the floor or the bleachers or the acoustics in a gym with a wood floor and concrete walls. We felt the presence of God through the people who've prayed over the chairs, who've set them out and prayed over every pen and prayed over every piece of paper that's been on a chair, and who've prayerfully used their gifts to lead us in prayer and worship. Church is the people. Sunset Middle School has been so special, and I'm going to miss it more than I can tell you. I'm going to look back fondly on our time as the Village at Sunset Middle School, and believe it or not, I'm going to grieve that we'll never get this time back. But the church is not the building. It's not the building we've been meeting in. It's not the building that we're about to move into. The church is the people. It's the people who put on Jesus, who try to dress like Jesus for the world. It's the people who've come before us, who've built a foundation that we can stand on and build on. It's the people united together by Jesus. It's the people who join with Jesus in his mission to reach and love and serve the world. And it's the people who together are the body of Christ. You could tell us tomorrow that we can't be here anymore and that we can't move into the new building, and together we would still be the church. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I want us to close out our last Sunday before we move into the building by spending a few minutes praying together. I'll be honest, I've been feeling all kinds of nervous energy this week. This past Monday afternoon, I was trying to get some work done at home, and I was having just tons of trouble focusing, like way more than normal. And so I headed over to the building, and I just went there to walk around for a few minutes. It's not been uncommon at all for me to drive over there. It's just a few minutes from my house. And over the past few years, even before we broke ground, I'd go over there and walk through the woods and pray. Mostly just a really simple prayer. Since we broke ground, I've been going over there probably a couple times a week and just walking around and praying that same simple prayer. So Monday afternoon, I was thinking about today. I was thinking about everything that I wanted to say, and that this all felt so momentous. And so I went in and I walked around the lobby and the kids area, and I walked around the worship space, and I stopped back through the lobby, and Heather on our team was sitting in there. She was on a call while the internet was being installed. And so she muted herself on the call, and she like leaned over to the side and she looked at me and she said, I just want you to know that I might be feeling a little overwhelmed. I kind of laughed and I just said, me too. That's why I'm here. So I stopped in the office on the way out, and without even realizing it, I just prayed the prayer that I've prayed hundreds of times as the pastor of this church. I've prayed it in the gym. I've prayed it in the locker room. I've prayed it in the hallway, in the parking lot at Sunset Middle School. I've prayed it on the property. I've prayed it in the new building. It's three simple words that I'm praying today as we have our last service at Sunset Middle School. And it's simply this: thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done here at the school, for all you're going to do in the future. And so I want us to spend a few minutes simply praying that prayer together. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to ask you, if you would, to close your eyes. Take a deep breath. We're going to pray that prayer together. What is it that you're thankful for today? This week leading up to Thanksgiving, what is it that you're thankful for? What is it that God has done in your life? What are the ways that God's spoken to you or helped you through this church? And if you've been part of our church at the school, what significant things have happened in your life and faith right there at Sunset Middle School? God, today we simply want to lift up our silent prayers, and we want to say in this moment of silence, thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for who you are, for your nature, for your character, for your goodness. We thank you for what you've done. And God, we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.